Honored to be here, to be with your youth all weekend, meeting a few of your adult leaders through the week. My name is Michael Freeman. I work at Mid-South Health here in Corning. I also an interim pastor, youth pastor at Newport at Emmanuel Baptist. I have been in ministry for vocational ministry for over 10 years, and I got saved at Cedar Glade Baptist Camp when I was 10. Something that I'm sure Brother Don had a part in it. I don't remember him when I was 10, but I'm sure he was there. And I've been great, been honored and able to work with Current Gains Baptist at Cedar Glades for multiple years. And I'm just so excited to be here with you today. Last night was draining, but in the best possible way, like a game that goes into overtime, and you're just completely spent at the end of it. Just so excited about what had happened. That's really kind of how I felt. I walked in, and the kids were already in bed, and I laid down, and I was out. I don't even know what happened next. So I woke up this morning. It was a great day yesterday. All weekend long, we have been talking about act, walk, and love. And we have been looking at the question Micah, in Micah 6:8, Micah is confronting the leaders of Israel. And he's saying, he's trying to tell them, you have it all backwards. You got it all wrong. You're trying to, you know, offer up all these calves, and you're trying to offer up all this olive oil, and you're trying to offer up all this these rams and these goats, and you're doing all these little things, and you're following all these rules, but you got it wrong. You have it all backwards. And he asked this question, What does the Lord require of you? What does the Lord require of you? Not all these, not all this blood, not all these sacrifices, not all this olive oil, not all these checklists. What does He require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So that's what it's about. That's what it's about, and that's what we've been talking about. We've been talking about our actions, our affections, and our attitude all week. First, we talked about our actions, to act justly. What does it mean? It means to act right. It means to be honest, to be true, to not tear down others, to not use your words to manipulate others and to defraud others and to kind of use others as a way to get your way and get to where you want to go regardless of what happens to them. In fact, we even use the example of a butcher who cuts up a cow for the best steaks and to get the best parts of meat. And I asked the students, I said, do you do that with people? Do you cut them up to get the best of them for your advantage? It's about acting justly. Our actions and our words, they matter. How we treat others, how we walk through this life. And then we talked about mercy. Loving mercy, our affection. We should be so in love with mercy. Oh, and we really began Saturday morning and it ended Saturday night with students bringing their sins before the cross and under the cross, because in order to understand mercy, in order to understand mercy and to love mercy and to have an affection for mercy and to desire mercy, you got to first know how serious your sin is. Whether it's just stealing a piece of bubble gum from the store or whether it's all out murder, your sin is serious in the eyes of a holy, holy, holy God. And if we're going to love mercy, we got to recognize the seriousness of our sin. And when we realize how serious our sin is, and we realize how in mercy God forgave us of our sin, then we can love mercy, and we can show mercy, and we can give other mercies, others mercy when they do us wrong. And then last night, we talked about walking humbly. And we started with, well, the first word, walk. You got to start a walk. You don't just wake up walking. You know, I have a newborn. We didn't talk much about my son, Zeke. But I have a newborn, and he just lays there. He doesn't do anything. But eventually, he's going to start rolling over here in a month or so. And then he's going to start crawling. And then he's going to start walking. You don't just get up and start walking. You gotta begin. You gotta begin that process of walking. And so we talked about that. How do we begin to walk? And we talked about the fact that Isaiah says there is a gap. There is a separation between us. We cannot be in relationship with God. We cannot begin that walk with God because there is a gap. And the gap is there because of our sin. So the first thing we have to do is we have to repent. We have to repent, and then we begin the walk. And how do we walk? We don't lead. We don't lead. When I was younger, we had horses. And we had one stud horse named Benny. And if you tried to pass Benny, Benny would get you. So you had to be, my dad would tell me, he'd say, now you stay back. Don't you get up by me, because if you get up by Benny, he's going to come at you. And you're going to get knocked off of your horse. Because Benny didn't want anyone leading him. He was a stud. He was the man. He was going to lead wherever he went. Well, a lot of times when we begin our walk, we might repent and we begin that walk, but it doesn't take long down that path when we decide, you know what, I'm going to get in front. I'm going to hop in front of God and I'm going to take the lead on this. Talked about what it means to walk. And how do we walk? We walk humbly. Humbly means we submit. We lower ourselves. We looked at the example of Jesus lowering himself, leaving glory, leaving everything, born in a barn, born to peasants, born with no name, no any kind of material wealth. In fact, at one point, someone says they want to follow. They said, we want to follow you, Jesus. He said, the Son of Man doesn't even have a pillow. He said, birds have nests, foxes have holes. I don't have a pillow. You want to follow me? So we talked about that example of humility and how we have to submit to Jesus and walk humbly. Today, as we finish up, we want to kind of go back to how we ended last night and talk about knowing Jesus. Because if we're going to have the correct actions, if we're going to have the correct affections, and if we're going to have the correct attitude, acting justly, loving mercy, walking humbly, we got to have some ability to do it, because I promise you can't do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. So you need to have some ability. Let's look here in Matthew 23. Matthew 23 is our text. Matthew 23, verses 23 through 34. 29 through 34, sorry. All right, Matthew chapter 23. We're actually just going to look at two verses. We're going to look at 27 and 28. Matthew 27 and 28 says this. I'm sorry, I lied. We're going to 23. Woe to you, scribes. I have 27 and 28 underlined from something I probably did in the past, and so when I opened it up and it didn't match, I got a little confused. It is 23. I was right to begin with. Sorry. 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others, you blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. Let's pray. Father God, as we come here this morning, and as we wrap up this weekend of just being in your word, being in your spirit, praising you through song and through preaching, Father, I pray that you would be with us this morning as we begin to look at the ability needed in order to meet the expectations that you have given us, to act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly. We need the ability that only comes through a personal, intimate relationship with your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. So, what motivates you? We're going to look at motivation. We go back to Micah. Micah was calling out the leaders of Israel because they were trying to do all these things, that they were trying to follow all these rules and check off all these checklists and offer enough bulls for this and enough calves for this and enough rams for that and enough oil for that. And they had all these things they were trying to do in order to get to God, in order to earn their way into heaven. And Micah is trying to tell them, what God expects, what God desires is for you to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with Him. Not to do all these things. Well, fast forward about 500 years, and Jesus walks into the scene. And we see Him coming and speaking to the Pharisees, and He says the same thing to them. He says, woe! It means watch out. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you leaders of Israel, the Sunday school teachers and the elders and the deacons, you leaders, you those who have positions of authority, woe to you, because you're hypocrites. You have everything flipped upside down. You are so worried about tithing mint and dill and cumin, these spices. And don't get me wrong, these spices were expensive. But you're so busy going through and here's a tenth of this, and here's a tenth of this, and here's a tenth of this, and here's a tenth of this. You're so busy trying to follow all these laws that you have neglected the weightier matters. You have neglected what was most important. And what does Jesus say is most important? What does He say is the most important part of the law? That's the Old Testament. He paraphrases Micah. He says, justice. Being a just person, being an honest person, caring about others and the good of others and thinking about others over yourself, justice and mercy, showing mercy, having mercy, realizing the need for mercy and faithfulness. And really, when we talk about faithfulness, we can really relate that to our walk with Jesus, walking humbly with Him, being faithful in that walk. So He says, you got it all upside down. He said, you should have done these things and neglected the others. That is, you should have been more concerned about being a just person. You should have been more concerned about mercy. You should have been more concerned about just being faithful to God, loving God, walking humbly with God. And these other things would have taken care of themselves. But you skipped over that, and you just went to start picking out spices. And then He says this. He calls them blind guides. He says, you blind guides. He says, you're blind and you're leading the blind. You guys aren't going anywhere. You blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. Straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. So you're so focused on these little minute things. Your motivation is completely backwards. You have everything upside down. I'm going to take a moment today to ask our students and ask you, what is your motivation? Why are you here today? Why are you here today? Why do you do the things that you do in the church? Do you have a little mental checklist? Went to church on Sunday. Check. Shook hands with visitors. Check. Went and taught my Sunday school. Check. Put my money in the plate. Check. Little checklist. Make sure I get all my checks. Or are you here because you love Jesus? You love Jesus. You are so thankful for the mercy and the grace He has poured out on your life. You have, like Paul said, we looked at it last night, you have tasted the knowledge of knowing Him, and it is so great and surpasses so much that everything else in this life is garbage, and you just want to give everything to Him. Or are you here because it's on the to-do list, checklist, mark it off, done that for the week, now I'm done. That's what the Pharisees were doing. That's what the leaders of Israel were doing. They were just marking things off a list. Their motivation was to complete a to-do list. They were not motivated to love God and to love His law. Jesus does care about our outer actions and decisions. He spoke often about serving the people who need it most and obeying God's laws from the Old Testament. Yet He was more interested in a person's heart, like their internal motives and thoughts and desires. It turns out that when God transforms people's hearts on the inside, they will also begin to be transformed on the outside. Following Jesus is not about checking religious things off a list, going to church, reading the Bible, praying before meals, and other things. Those are all great things that you should be doing. But they should begin with hearts that have been changed and hearts that are directed at God. And it's all too easy to do those things because we want to look good instead of doing them because we love God. I want to look at another text today. 1 John. And we're going to end here. And I love when God works. I was sitting listening to Amber this morning in Sunday school. I had no plan whatsoever to look at 1 John. And I wish I could remember what you said because it sparked me. God put this thought in my head. And I turned to 1 John real quick and I looked at it and I added my notes real quick while I was in Sunday school. So that's what I was doing. I wasn't texting or anything. But I want to look at 1 John. I want to end here tonight. Because what we're talking about, if we're going to act just, if we're going to love mercy, if we're going to walk humbly, if our actions, our affections, and our attitude is going to be a godly attitude towards Him for His glory, we got to have the ability. We got to have the ability to do it. And that ability comes only through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Oh, I love this. I love this verse. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, My little children, whether you're old or whether you're young, 5, 50, or 105, when you come to Jesus, you become God's little children. How wonderful. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. I don't want you to sin. Sin is not acceptable. Sin is serious. Sin is serious. No matter how small you think it is, it's just a white lie. Oh, it's just something I like to look at online at night. Oh, it's just, you know, something me and my friends do. It's just a little bit. Sin is serious. He says, I don't want you to sin. I don't want you to sin. I want you to act just. I want your words and your deeds to be just. But if you do sin, amen, anybody sin? All right? If you do sin, oh, mercy. This is why we love mercy. You have to love mercy if you're a Christian. How can you not love mercy if you're a Christian? It doesn't make any sense. If you do sin, and you will, may even do it later today. If you do sin, if anyone does sin, we have an advocate. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We have an advocate. Do you realize there are two pictures of Jesus, okay? And they are not, completely compatible. They are not contradictions to each other. We have two pictures of Jesus in heaven. We have one picture of Jesus on the throne with his feet up, resting, waiting for that last day. And the Bible also gives another picture of Jesus. And this picture is of Jesus, not on his throne, not sitting on his throne, not waiting, but rather we have a picture of Jesus off his throne, before his throne, before God the Father saying, no, I know what Daniel did, but he's okay. I know what Michael did, but he's okay. Don't judge him. Don't pour your wrath out on him. He is our advocate before the Father, pleading our case. He's mine. I saved him. I covered him in my blood. Father, don't pour your wrath out on him. Don't pour your wrath out on her. Advocate. Oh, how we all need an advocate. Someone who can stand in the court and proclaim our case. And it is Christ, the righteous one. The one who is perfect, the one who has no sin, the one who went to the cross, who shed his blood, who paid the debt that we owe. Oh, an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation, he's the payment, he's the public display of payment, of coverage for our wrath that we are due. The propitiation. For our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know Him. We know we know Him. We know we know God. We know we're covered in the blood. We know we're forgiven. We know our sins have been paid for. We know that that gap has been bridged. We know Him. And we know that we know Him. If we keep His commandments. If we keep His commandments. If we know His commandments, we love His commandments, we meditate on His word, and we do everything within our power, and then whatever we can't do, we do it by His ability to keep His commandments and walk humbly for our God. We know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. Whosoever says, I know Jesus, I know Him, but does not keep his commandments. Church, you say, I know Jesus. I know him, but I don't follow his law. I don't know what he asks. I don't know what his expectations are for me to act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly before your God. I don't know what those are. I don't know his commandments. I just do whatever I want because I'm covered by grace. You don't know Jesus and you're a liar. If you know him, or if you say you know him, and you do not keep his commandments, John says you are a liar. You're a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which Jesus walked. Here's how I want to end tonight, this morning. As Cole comes and plays the invitation. Do you know him? Do you have a relationship with him? Are you following him? Do you know what he expects of you? Are you perfect? No, we already addressed that. We know we sin. We know we mess up. We know we can't follow his will and his work perfectly. If we could follow the law perfectly, Jesus wouldn't have to come to earth to die. That's why he's our advocate. But if you disregard his word, if you disregard time alone with him, if you disregard his commandments and say, I'll do it on my own, I can do it myself, John says, you don't know Jesus. You're a liar. There's something in your life that's holding you back from knowing Jesus. Some sin, I pray, just like the kids, just like the students, just like the adult leaders, I pray you'll bring it to the cross and leave it at his feet. If you're trying to do this journey, if you're trying to do these things and follow these rules on your own power, pray you'd give up control and give it back to Jesus. Now you would look at your life and make sure that through the power of the Holy Spirit and through your personal effort, you are learning more and more about Jesus every day so that you can walk as he walked. Father God, I don't know where everybody's at. You know their hearts. You know their motivations. You know if they're here just to check off a list or if they're here because they love you and they love mercy and they love learning about you and they love learning your word and your law and they love doing everything in their power and then what they can't do, they rely on the Spirit to get them to do. You know if there's anyone here who's holding back those sins. They want to hang on to those sins. They don't want to give them away. They like those sins. Father, you know each heart. You know each mind. And I pray your Spirit would work in each according to your will. That we would submit our lives. We would give everything to Jesus. And we would fall in love with Jesus all over again. We would begin to live up to our expectations because we love you. We just want to follow you no matter what. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.